Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast, a playoff-winning podcast. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Yes, go Padres. Can you believe this? Here we are, Nick.
Yeah. How was your day today?
I'm kind of on cloud nine. It's almost surreal. But then, I mean, we'll get into it, but with all the controversy last night, I feel like I'm living a situation that's never been lived before. I never remember that kind of thing happening ever in a playoff baseball game before. So we'll get into what I'm referring to, I'm sure.
We're also joined by Dallas McLaughlin, who just woke up.
I just woke up, and what are you guys talking about?
You've been asleep since 2007.
Grisham sucks.
And Matt Holliday's not in the league anymore.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Yeah. Guys, what an exciting time to hate Trent Grisham, right? What a really fun time.
So let's start there. Let's continue from last week, Dallas. I mean, do you want to share how it feels to save a young man with a lot of potential, save his career?
I think it feels good. I think, I mean, like, listen, I don't want to take the credit, but I'm willing to if I have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's few of us that were willing to go out on the line and call him out, as we should have. And it worked. And I'm glad that he heard it. And I just, and in case he's listening again this week, I want to say, you still suck and you're a terrible center fielder. And I'm amazed that you even made the roster. Yeah. So there we go.
A lot of people say that they want to give back, and you actually did it.
I'm making the difference. Yeah.
So this is
last week we all said, like, I said it so many times, I don't want him to be bad. I want him to get better. I want him to be good. And he's shown flashes of being good. Not great, but good. And you know what he did this series was fantastic. And I am more than happy to eat my words. And I mean, not eat my words, because he was very bad until the series. So it's not like I was wrong, but he had to be the series MVP. It just, every time he was, I mean, they pitched around him one of the last times he was up. Yeah. Like, it's fantastic. And the play, he made an insane play in center. A couple of them, actually. So kudos, hats off, man. That's fantastic to watch. It made me so happy.
Yeah. I mean, there was the story of the series was really these 7, 8, 9 hitters who just stepped up. I mean, I don't know. I guess Will Myers was hitting sixth or seventh. But anyway, you know, the guys that we weren't really expecting much from all hit. I mean, Austin Nola had a big series, had big hits in the series. Like Trent Grisham, Will Myers. It was just.
Yeah.
Ha-Sung Kim. Yeah.
Kim kept getting on base. He was on base with that last game. I think he was on base every time he was up to bat. If I'm not mistaken, dude, I mean, listen, I really like Brandon Drury, and it was a bummer that he only got that one start, especially because Josh Bell after that first game was kind of a no show, but Will Myers' defense at first base, my goodness.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Last night was amazing.
Guys, if we didn't trade Hosmer and that was Hosmer at first that game, we would have lost.
We would have lost that game last night. Yes.
Just think if we had made him our first baseman in 2018, like we should have. But that's. But hey, let's go back to Friday night. You know, the game one of the series. I think what's really exciting about going forward is that, you know, the Padres can go into a big and, you know, a rough environment and beat a pitcher like Max Scherzer in an away game. You know, that game was so relieving to me that we were got up early and it was pretty much over for most of the game. And it was like, okay, we belong here. We should be here. And we're not going to get swept. We know that we can be successful in the postseason. This group can do it. And they destroyed Max Scherzer. I don't know.
I've never seen Buck Showalter move so fast to get a pitcher out of that game when it came to Max Scherzer. When Josh Bell hit that home run, I mean, it was literally that moment. He just hit that home run, and I was like, I think we're gonna win this game. I don't think we're gonna lose this game. Like, it was just so. It was like, what a What a fucking statement. Like
it was a statement. It felt like they were communicating to us that, like, okay, you should be excited. This is real now.
Yeah, it was great, man. Yeah. It was great. And listen, hats off to, I do want to say hats off to Mets fans. I mean, they're shitty people, but I think
ugly human beings.
Like, but like they, I mean, it was weird that they didn't sell out that third game. Like that was so weird. It was not a sellout, but regardless, like, man, they were, I hope Petco has that kind of energy on Friday. Yeah. That would be amazing. Cause that was like a ton of energy and so loud. It was really impressive. And Emma Stone. I mean, can we talk about Emma Stone for 2 seconds? Can we talk about the San Diego Padre fan, Emma Stone?
Did we know that before that game?
She had gone to Petco and, like, I think her boyfriend is like from San Diego or something.
I think that's what the deal is. Yeah.
She got into the Eric Grubner got them into like the owner's suite or something. And she had been at Petco this year. And then they went to a game there and she wore the jacket. Well, the rest is history. She's on our team. The rest is
history. She was the reason.
That jacket is mid-80s classic Padres jacket. Yeah. And I know because I have one
that's
in
the late
closet. 80s.
Yeah.
So
that's the jacket.
That jacket has a smell to it. It is vintage Padres gear. That was so cool about seeing her was that, honestly, that jacket was like, oh, she's a real fan. That's just not a bandwagon fan right there.
I mean, that jacket is a sweet jacket. I want to go buy one.
Yeah, and then she betrayed us in game two and wasn't there, and we lost, but that's okay. We recovered. I thought game two was really interesting, too, because, you know, we're going up against DeGrom, and yeah, we ended up losing that game, but, you know, they did get to DeGrom. They hit it. I mean, I just think that's meaningful to me going into a series with the Dodgers who have great pitching, and we're going to see great pitching from here on out, and just to have this lineup that nobody was afraid of really going into the postseason as being one of the worst offenses in the postseason, just to have that kind of explosion in game one against Scherzer and then actually be able to hit DeGrom a little bit in game two. It just feels like they can go into a 5-game series with some top pitchers and compete, you know?
Yeah. And I have to say, I think game two, I don't believe that like the umps sway the game to the point where it, you know, we wouldn't have won that game maybe. But there was some key moments where momentum kind of swayed on a lot of favorable calls for DeGrom and like some crazy horrible calls for Snell. And it was a weird ump game compared to any other game I'd seen in the playoffs in a long time. In fact, there was a statistic about that home plate umpire and his favoritism towards the Mets being thrown around statistically over the years. So I don't know. It was a weird game.
It was anytime he's every game he's called against the Padres or home, whatever, every game he's been home plate umpire with the Padres, they've lost like the last 9 games or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, who knows, but I do think that a lot of that comes when I'm like, there's those, you know, impressions of, oh, Manny's a problem, you know, Soto's, a showboat. Like, I think the umps take this to heart and they like, get calls against them. I mean, those two calls there was two pitches particularly that Snell threw like right down the middle of the freaking plate.
Yeah.
I caught balls what? Like, it was just so weird and blatant at times. What is happening right now?
And it's not like MLB would benefit from having a game three and having the Mets versus the Dodgers in an NLDS. I mean, that they would never try anything to force that through.
No.
I mean, that would
no. Well, what's funny
it
is
did
like,
feel they, like that. It did feel like that.
Oh, it was
100%. They would benefit a lot from it. Yeah. Nobody wants the Padres going further.
No, I think. But you know what's funny though is I do think there's a lot more Padres fans than they suspect. I really do think that. I think a lot of San Diego people have moved out of San Diego, and I think that the Padres have a bit more of national appeal than I think that they presume. I mean, look at that game. I mean, Sunday, was there anybody watching football that you know of? Everybody I know of, even across, my dad was texting me about the game and he's like a football fan. Like he has no business watching the Padres Mets, you know, but there's a lot of people watching that game. I agree with you, Nick. Like I didn't think Scherzer was going to be a problem. Like we've handled him so many times. Like I've just never thought of Scherzer as a problem for the Padres. And I assumed that DeGrom would just mow us down. But the fact that we didn't let him mow us down, yeah, that we scored a couple runs on him, that we got a few hits. Like, we, you know, that was like a huge, huge step, I think, for the Padres.
Yeah, that was, it just feels like we belong. And
yeah, dude,
you know, we could go into a Dodger series and actually do something. I don't, you know, game three was, the, you know, last night's game. I mean, it was more riveting than any football game I saw yesterday, but I mean, it just, that game, watching Joe Musgrove just mow them down for seven innings, basically before all the controversy happened, but like, just, he was so locked in. You know, you heard some quotes from Nola after the game saying, like, I could tell he was just laser focused before the game, like in warmups, he was just, I could tell he was going to be locked in and just amazing. And it was just one of the greatest performances we've seen from a Padres pitcher. You know, I don't know what else. I mean, I'm sure there's some Kevin Brown games in the 98 and stuff like that. Yeah. PV had, I guess PV didn't have those games, but you know, but I know, but I mean, like, it really is like, for somebody who's a local kid, and we know the story, they extended him for $100 million, and I'm pretty happy with the contract so far. I don't know. It seems great.
I think we have to address it going into it, but like, it doesn't, like, here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. And like, the whole thing that's happening right now with Brian Kinney and MLB Network, I literally can't believe that MLB Network is just letting him go on MLB Network and say Joe Musgrove cheated. Like, he's continuing to say,
can't that be considered slander?
Like, I can't believe that he's on the air on the MLB Network, just, and they're just letting it happen. Like, it is like, I don't even understand it. And my hope, my sincere hope, is that the Padres completely reject all interview requests from MLB Network going forward. Like, if they were a team of stature and back their guy, they should reject any requests to talk to that network for the foreseeable future. I mean, what they're letting Brian Kinney do right now is damaging, irresponsible. And like you said, Travis, that's slander. I mean, like, if I was Joe Musgrove, I would start sending lawyers letters. Like, that is ridiculous. Because here's the thing too. The big picture to me is this. Like, it was, you know, listen, Buck Showalter, he did what he did. It was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen somebody do. He was feeling balls in the first inning and then waited until the sixth to say anything. Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes a lot of sense. First off. Secondly, whatever, like, all of the evidence coming out proves that, like, he didn't do anything, right? The umps check him. There's nothing. The people are like, oh, well, he wiped his ear with his shoulder. Really? You think that's all it took? He was, his cheating. That's all it was, is just a quick gripe of his ear. John Boy does a whole breakdown. John Boy does a whole breakdown where he shows that he never touches his ear while he's on the mound. So there's more evidence. People bring up spin rates, right? So then they're showing spin rates of all these other pitchers that have gone up during the postseason, that he's like not the only one. There's several. DeGrom himself was up. So much evidence comes out just against all of this stuff, right? And they're still not letting it go. And to me, it's like, at what point do you let it go? At what point do you go, oh, all the evidence is stacked against me here? Like, and even if it was Vaseline, that doesn't improve your spin rates. Like, everybody's coming out. You know, Saris did a fantastic article about it. It doesn't improve your spin rate. So, like, what the fuck are they getting at? Like, it doesn't make any sense, man. It's so insane to me that they're, one, they're letting him say this stuff. And the two, I listen, the internet's the internet, so they're going to say whatever they want to say. But come on. Jesus.
Go ahead, Travis.
Well, I was going to say too, and I know it's about averages and stuff, but the way they calculate spin rate at like rotations per minute when the ball gets to home plate in less than a second is so misleading. Cause when you say his average was 2,700 and last night it was 2,900, that sounds significant. But when you break it down to rotations per second, it's not even doing a full rotation more on the way to the plate, not even one full rotation where it's like 18 rotations versus 18.6 rotations.
Yeah.
Like it's an insanely insignificant thing that they just now have access to with analytics. And when they use like what I think are ridiculous numbers to describe it, it makes it sound so, oh my gosh, the spin rate was so much higher. It half rotated more per pitch.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Eno was saying too, is like he was breaking it down like the same way you just did, Travis, where it's like, this isn't significant. Like, I don't know why people think
it's called adrenaline. If you're looking at the data. Yeah. I thought it was
in his hometown where he was born and he feels a city on his back. That's what that is. Yeah. You throw the ball a little harder. It's ridiculous.
I thought it was really cool. The win, which is so amazing now in 2022, like a guy who's not playing in the series can tweet something and they put it on the broadcast. I thought Andrew McCutchen, who's about as respected as anybody in baseball, I think, you know, as being like a guy that everybody looks up to, I think. He was a former teammate of Joe Musgrove, and he came to his defense on Twitter and basically said that some pitchers put Icy Hot on their ears to focus more, which is something I'm going to do in my personal life. I'm doing that right now.
I mean,
I sound great. But
people think it's
working,
dumb.
Nick. It's working.
You do. I mean, it is working.
But, I mean, if Andrew McCutchen says this is not cheating, I know this. Or I forget what the tweet actually said, but it's just, I thought that was helpful for, I think, the discourse.
Well, and like regardless, like the fact that there's video where you can see that he's not touching his ear should be the end of it. That, like, how is that not the end of it? Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. It's like if you said, Nick, well, why did you shoot that guy? And there's video where I've never touched a gun. Like, that should be the end of that controversy. Like, I don't understand, like, what the point is. And on top of all of this, they're acting like this was out of step with Musgrove's season. He's had an incredible freaking season. Like, he's been in fantastic. There was 1 month where he was off his game. 1 month. He finished with an under 3 ERA. He's had an amazing season, and they're acting like, well, this just came out of nowhere. It's not like it was fucking Zach Davies all of a sudden. Like,
yeah.
Who did this? Like, it's so outrageous. Like, really pisses me off because it's going to follow him through the postseason. It's going to follow the Padres through the
postseason. It's going to be a story the whole postseason.
And it is unbelievable, and it's so stupid. And it just sucks. It just sucks.
I'd love to yell and scream about it. But Michael Wilbon on PTI today,
he said all you needed to do. Huh?
Job. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's the thing.
He hates the Mets, I guess. Yeah, and
he's.
But I mean, he called out. He called out Buck Showalter for being like intellectually irresponsible. You know.
Yeah.
Like, well, hell yeah, dude.
Well, I think it is because he has no Showalter has no foresight, it seems, on how chumpy that makes you look when you're down. What were they down 6-0? Like, this was a close game and you're fighting for every edge, okay, I understand this call. When you're down 6-0, there's no way a guy putting a little stuff anywhere is going to take away a 6-0 advantage. Like, you're losing this game bad. There's no slight edge going on here. So everything you do in regards to cheating looks just like a sore loser. You look intellectually stupid, and that you're doing pulling out every stop because you're desperate, not like you're trying to win.
Also, I guess Yu Darvish was cheating, and Suarez was cheating, right, and Hader was cheating, like, because they all know hit your asses. So it's like, what are you getting at? Like, it's just so stupid. And even if he was trying to, you know, fuck with him a little bit and screw with his rhythm, or even then, you're like, dude, that is just gnarly. Like, it's so weird. And it makes me happy, like Wilbon and Eno and you know, Kutch and the Gary Cohen, you know, all these
was
guys.
Was Gary Cohen the guy on the Mets broadcast after the game? That was awesome. But he was right. He was like, you better be right if you do that. If you make that move, you better catch him doing something. If you don't.
Well, and it's like the fact that they think that he could wipe off his ear with his shoulder and then that would completely alleviate all evidence that there was, like, it's so freaking stupid. And yeah, I was happy that so many people came out in his defense, but the fact that there's these people, I literally cannot believe it's like if Don Orsillo was to be like, yeah, well, he cheated, and then just keep going with it. That's the level that Brian Kinney's at right now. It's like, he's the voice of the MLB network. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, so then that happens, and Musgrove, I think he strikes out, or he basically gets out of the inning. I think he struck out somebody.
Yeah.
I think two.
He gave that signal that the guy from Eastbound and Down did, I guess.
Kenny Powers, man.
Yeah. after the game, you know, we were just losing our minds, and in his press conference, he basically says, hey, if you're going to do that, you better be confident that nobody on your side is cheating either, which I think is right too. It's like, I mean, I think overall it's like, we're all trying to get an advantage. You know, I don't think he was, but it's like, everybody's trying stuff, I guess.
I mean, like, you know, Haiku, you know, DM'd us is like, weren't you were a little nervous, be honest. And like, of course, like,
I mean, I was nervous.
I was not nervous.
After the season we've had with Tatis and Soto tanking and Bell tanking, like, I'm like, what could come next? Anything is possible right now for us to just screw this up. And I was nervous, but at the same time, like, then he had to be cheating all year. Like, he's just been great the last couple of years. So I'm like, that's what it was confusing to me.
Can you imagine the pressure on the umpire though? Like, you put this umpire in the position to have to like rub a guy's ears on national television, and you have to be sure if you think he's cheating. And like, how do you make that call in a playoff game in front of everybody? I just don't know to do it that late in the game. And it was just Bush League stuff, and Buck Showalter is never going to win a World Series. And that's just how it's going to be.
I think he did it because he was trying to save his job. I think, you know, but I mean, what's the last time he was with the Orioles? And he screwed up bad and they fired him. And it's
they
like
fired the Yankees fired him and then they started winning, you know?
Yeah. It's the thing about Buck Showalter is I think he saw the writing on the wall that everybody picked them to beat the Padres. They were supposed to beat the Padres, you know, hands down. It was supposed to be over before it began. And he screwed up and he couldn't make it work. Couldn't make it happen. And I think he went out there to try to cast doubt on the fact that any of this could have been his fault, so he could save his job. I honestly think that's the whole point of this for him.
Well, I'm glad we didn't hire him, even though I might've said on this podcast that we should, but you know,
he needs therapy.
Show me the tape, you know?
I mean, just sort of weirdo. What a fucking weirdo, dude. Like,
he takes the fun out of baseball. That's the bigger problem with Buck Showalter. I think that he's a good regular season manager. He'll always win you a lot of games, but He's had so many failures in the postseason. It's like, how many chances is this guy going to get? And I think this is really going to damage his legacy. I think with Mets fans and just overall, it's like,
well, not with the MLB Network, I'll tell you that.
Maybe. Yeah.
They're all about it.
They'd hire him probably.
They will hire him. They'll immediately hire him. Yeah. They're all about it. Brian Kinney will take him drinking. You're right, Joe. You guys should have been in that game. Ooh, so dumb, dude.
Okay. We're facing the Dodgers. It's happening. We have a 5-game series against the Dodgers that starts tomorrow night in LA. We are guaranteed one game at Petco Park. If we win one, we get two games at Petco Park. It's exciting. Mm-hmm.
I have possible tickets to Saturday. Cool. Possibly. We don't know. I don't know yet.
How do you guys feel? Like, personally, I kind of just, I don't want to have a loser mentality and think like, okay, we won this series. That's enough for the season to be successful. But it does feel like, you know, the Dodgers are the better team and they should win. So the pressure is kind of off of us, even though we should try to win and, you know, we should take this opportunity and really try to destroy them and make them chokers out of it. But I don't know. Where's your head at right now?
Here's the thing. I think they need to go into it the same way that they went into the Mets series, where it's like nobody is picking us to win. Yeah. And so why not just, like you said, just, I think, be relaxed about it. You're the underdog. Just be relaxed. Go in there and swing the bat. I mean, listen, I've said this over and over again, and it's, I can't say I've really been proven wrong. When they get a little more aggressive at the plate, they win games. And I think they're relaxed is when they get more aggressive. And I think Crone needs to wake up. I think it was nice to see Soto get a bunch of hits in that series. You know, if they're going to start Bell, they need Bell to do a little something else. You know, like, there's some question marks going in. They need some people to wake up a little bit. But overall, I'm very nervous. I don't want us to get swept. Just like the Mets, my expectations is, I hope we win one. I hope we don't get embarrassed. Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, literally, like, they have beaten us all season long and beaten us very badly. And I don't expect much else because the team hasn't showed me much else against the Dodgers. So for me, this is their chance to show me something else and show me that they can do it. And I just hope we don't get swept. That is my expectations. And also, I'm just enjoying it. And if I get to go see a game on Saturday, I'll be even happier.
Yeah. Travis?
Hey, I agree with the relaxed attitude. That the house money, you know, you got nothing really to lose. San Diego's as happy as a bug in a rug. Everyone understands who the Dodgers are. But I really think it's about the pitching, too. Like, if our pitching can do what it's been doing the past couple of weeks, I think we have a really good chance because our offense still hasn't fired on all cylinders. And if they can all relax and not make every plate about getting a home run or feeling like they got to carry the offense, I mean, this offense could be insane if it started firing on all cylinders. And so I'm cautiously optimistic. The Dodgers, to me, on paper, still do not make any sense as far as the kind of offense they have. I know that these guys do what they do, but still looking at those names on the lineup, it's not, on paper, intimidating to me. I like our lineup a lot against this team. And so, I don't know, it could be one of those series where the Dodgers are, you know, they're just playing average and we coming off this high. I don't know. It's going to be a very interesting series. And it also doesn't feel right if we don't beat the Dodgers on our way to a world championship.
It does feel
so like a win-win-win all around, right? We're not supposed to win. If we do, we beat one of the greatest teams in baseball history on our way to a world championship. So yeah, I'm very excited.
I think my biggest letdown will be if we beat the Dodgers and then lose to whoever is in the next round.
The Phillies.
The stakes are high though, because I think, you know, if we can beat the Dodgers, it changes regardless of what happens after that, it changes, I think, the dynamic at Petco Park moving forward, at least for the near future. Like, when the Dodgers come to town, we'll at least have that over them, that we can beat them in a series, in a real season.
Well, I think you're right though, Trav, to just to say, I think the city is happy and people know who the Dodgers are and they've seen what's happened all season. So I think that everyone's kind of on the same page. Like, of course, we want them to win. They can win. They totally can. But it's just like, hey, we're going into this pretty happy fans. So let's just have some fun.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a blast. These next two games are just going to be electric to watch on TV. And then Friday night, it's going to be one of the great nights in San Diego sports history, hopefully. You know,
I hope, man. I don't want to get embarrassed. That's it. I just don't. You guys remember like back in 2000, blah, 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 blah. You guys remember that? Yes. I think it was when the Matt Holliday thing, because the Rockies went to the World Series, right?
That was 07.
And the Rockies went to the World Series that year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they lost, right?
The Red Sox, yeah.
They lost the Red Sox. So I think in one of the reasons I remember thinking to myself, I probably heard an analyst say it, and that's why I thought, but the Rockies like swept their NLCS.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. The Red Sox didn't. They went all the way to game seven with it. And so it was like they had all this time to sit and rest. Yeah. And it was like, but the Red Sox were like riding a high and they were going and strong. And it was like, and they just went in and they crushed they swept the Rockies, if I'm not mistaken, like in that series. So my hope is with that. Like, my hope is that the Dodgers have been able to sit for all this time. The Padres are going in with a grudge, with a chip. That's my hope. I think that drives us.
Well, this Mets series, I think, changed everything. It does feel like if they can go into a New York crowd, that, you know, the Mets aren't that far behind the Dodgers talent wise, and they can win in a series that they don't have home field advantage, a real drastic home field advantage. It was, all the games were in New York, and they got in there and they did it. And so I have confidence that they can get one of these games in LA at least.
Me too.
And if that happens, who knows? I mean, I agree. I think I like the position of just not taking a huge break. And the only thing is, you know, I think Clevinger's starting game one, and they might have to have like a kind of a few different. Yeah, I don't think he's going to go that long.
Well, I think the theory is that it's going to be Clev for like three or four, and then Manaea for like three.
I like that though.
I like that too. Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm not against that. Manaea's.
Nick Martinez a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, Manaea's proven he can be a middle reliever, I think. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Then we start over with Yu Darvish. I think, you know, crazier things have happened. But cool. Let's check in maybe next Monday when we're on our way to the NLCS against those Phillies.
You know it.
Sorry, Braves.
Sorry, Braves. It's not going to happen. Spencer Strider, you're out.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Keep the faith, everybody. It's been working out so far this year. It's such a weird, we've never really been in this position as a podcast to have, I guess did we record after they won that Cardinals series?
I mean,
it's not the same though.
Not the same. Yeah. The sixth, yeah. The Mickey no,
that
Mouse
didn't count. Remember?
It was fun. That was fun. We had a lot of fun, but yeah, it's this different this time. You know, we've had a whole nother half of a season to live and die with this team.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's going to be exciting. Go Padres. This is going to be a real, real formative or transformative week for San Diego sports. I guess, you know, kill the blue, or I don't know. Kill the blue.
Come on, man. Put some Icy Hot bag on your ears. They got to land this plane, buddy.
Keep the faith. It works. It does.
Go Padres.
Go Padres.